Today, as we come to the table,
saw this man fighting against the police, and they had to restrain him, you know, and put the restraint. You know, they get that restraint. They put a jacket on him. He was fighting so hard that after they arrested him, they had to put on the straight jacket, and then they had to put on the spit mask because this guy was spitting mad, quite literally, if you talk about where that phrase comes from. And they had him in one of these chairs that has the wheels on it, right? And I was watching that, and God began to minister to my heart and say, that's exactly where Satan and the Antichrist is right now. They want to destroy all of us. They want to destroy the earth if they can. But right now, God says, I am restraining Satan, and I am restraining the Antichrist from moving forward.
Our culture has been very effective at desensitizing us to the vileness and extreme wickedness of Satan. We have TV shows that humanize or minimize him greatly. They paint him as more of a misunderstood, harmless myth than as the raging, scheming, hate-filled beast that he is. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. As Pastor Mark will illustrate in today's message, our enemy is wreaking havoc in our world right now. But what we've seen is just a small taste of what he's capable of. Scripture tells us that Satan is currently being restrained, and when God releases him before casting him into hell, the world will see his full depravity. Now let's join Pastor Mark in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 as he begins his message, The Restrainer and the Restrained.
Now, when I say I believe today's message is prophetic, first of all, the word of God in and of itself is prophetic. I'm not a prophet. I don't claim to be a prophet, but I do believe that God speaks prophetically through his pastors, and I do believe that today is very interesting prophetically for this reason. God knew exactly where we would be today in the scripture. I didn't time this. I didn't plan this. And why I find this so interesting is we're going to be looking at, again, God restraining the move forward of Satan and the Antichrist in the last days, for the one world government, the one world religion, and the world unifying as one in this last push before Jesus Christ comes back to rule and reign. What you need to understand is, as believers, we cannot look at things from a political perspective. We have to from a degree, I get that. But we have to look from a biblical perspective, and we have to look from a prophetic perspective. But understand this, what goes on in the spiritual realm manifests itself in the physical realm. And oftentimes it manifests itself in the physical realm through politics. I flipped the TV on yesterday. I saw this man fighting against the police, and they had to restrain him, you know, and put the restraint. You know, they get that restraint. They put a jacket on him. He was fighting so hard after they arrested him, they had to put on the straight jacket, and then they had to put on the spit mask because this guy was spitting mad, quite literally, if you talk about where that phrase comes from. And they had him in one of these chairs that has the wheels on it, right? And I was watching that, and God began to minister to my heart and say, that's exactly where Satan and the Antichrist is right now. They want to destroy all of us. They want to destroy the earth if they can. But right now, God says, I am restraining Satan, and I am restraining the Antichrist from moving forward. But when God lifts his restraint, it's going to go forward very quickly. Understand this. We're going to see God's restrainer today and talk about it. But when God lifts that restraining power, Satan's going to move forward like lightning. It's going to be very, very quick when this takes place. So understand, the end times process is going to be a fast one. Prophecy is like a slow grinding machine. You hear about it, you hear about it, you wait, you know, and then, but he said, when it happens, when this last process kicks in, when I remove the restrainer, it's going to be fast. And it's going to be somewhere around 7 years, maybe a little bit more. There's some leeway there for when, you know, the Antichrist is revealed or when the rapture takes place. We don't know the exact timing. But the Bible says when this world leader signs this treaty with the world and Israel for 7 years, at the end of that, Jesus is coming back. And the Bible says Satan will know that his time is short and he's going to be going just gangbusters because he knows that, doing everything he can to wreak havoc on the earth. And so this means that, again, them being restrained, the good news is God is restraining them. And before they're completely released, God will remove us from the church in the rapture. Now, again, I think you're going to see some of that release and a little bit more leeway for the enemy in the last days beginning to happen as we work toward the full release. But I also believe that sometime around that full release, we're going to be taken out and we will not be here again for the great tribulation or for God's wrath and God's judgment, which, by the way, is what Thessalonians is about. One of the main reasons Paul wrote 2 Thessalonians is because they were being so persecuted, they thought they had entered the great tribulation. And they thought they were going to face God's judgment. And Paul says, no, you haven't entered it. And before you enter it, these things have to happen. If you remember last week, he said, first of all, there has to be a falling away. There has to be a rejecting of the faith in large part by those on the earth. Next, the man of sin has to be revealed, the Antichrist out of Europe. And then at the 3.5 year point of that final 7 years, the Antichrist is literally going to stand up in the temple of God and declare that he's God. And you might say, how in the world could anybody believe that a man is God? How could they believe that? We're going to see today that Satan is allotted a certain level of power. Satan's going to be able to give that power to the Antichrist, and he literally is going to be able to do signs and wonders, even calling down lightning from heaven. Now, if we see somebody stand up and says, I'm going to show you my power. I'm telling you that I'm God. I'm going to show you that I'm God. Lightning strike the Mount of Olives, because remember, he'll be there on the Temple Mount. I'm not saying that's what he's going to do, but the Bible says he will call down lightning at some point somewhere. And probably more than once to show his power, you're going to be pretty intimidated. Anybody want to take me on? Watch this. Boom. I am God. Watch that. Bam. I'm your Lord. The world's going to believe it. They're going to bow down to him. And everybody's tied up in all this, you know, scientific stuff today. The big thing today is prove it by science, prove it by science. Look, when you're standing there and you hear him say it and you watch him call down lightning from heaven, that's going to be all the science the world needs. This man is God, and they're going to be ready to bow down to him. For those who know the truth, they'll not be deceived. Again, we'll be gone by the end, and yet there'll be some getting saved after that, the Bible says. And if they know the Bible, and if you've shared the Bible good enough with your family and friends, which is hard to do if they don't really want God, but if they know it good enough, they're going to recognize who this man is. And so it's going to be very, very interesting. It's going to be a nightmare. I'm glad we're not going to be here, because there's going to be total control by the entire earth by this individual. And again, I'm just glad we're not going to be here to see all that. Now, again, remember, we left off last week with Paul reassuring them that the tribulation had not begun. And he tells them again, you know, again in verse 5, notice that starting in 5, he says, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things. So Paul, again, had shared with them, you're not in the great tribulation. The Antichrist is not on the scene. There's not a one world government. There's not the huge falling away that's going to take place. So relax. You're not there yet. It is coming, but it hasn't come yet. Now, I find it interesting that Paul here said, if you remember last time I warned you of these things. Remember, it tells us in the book of Acts that Paul spent only 3 weeks with the Thessalonians when he established the church. And when you read in Paul's letters what he talked about in the first letter, what he's talking about in the second letter, and you realize he was only there for 3 weeks, it was pretty much full-time prophecy. It was like head-on. It's interesting today, I hear people say, you shouldn't get too involved in prophecy, and I think there's a balance. You can go overboard. You don't want to be having people teaching prophecy every week. You're not going to grow. You got to, I believe, teach it as the Bible teaches it in the proper balance as you work through. But I hear some today say you shouldn't worry about prophecy at all. Listen, if Paul spent 3 weeks in Thessalonica and he saw it so important that they knew everything about the end times and the Antichrist, that's what he saw as important. I think it should be seen as important to us. And why would that be so important? So that when these days come that we're now entering into, which I personally believe are the time of sorrows Jesus talked about, I can't say it really is, only God knows. I have that conviction, we'll find out. But the reason we need to understand the Bible prophetically is so that we don't freak out. We faith out. We relax. Sure, it's not fun what's going on in the world, but we understand it. The world won't, we will. And it gives us peace. And it gives us rest. And Paul said, I told you these things, and this is what to be watching for. And the last verses, I shared that with you. Look at verse 6. He says, and now you know what is restraining. Restraining what? All these things he just talked about the Antichrist and all that he may be revealed in his own time. That who may be revealed? The Antichrist, this world leader that's going to rise up out of Europe. And it tells us that in Daniel and in Revelation is how we know. By the way, I got a question this week, and I've had it a couple times, I think, this week, at least once, and I'm thinking twice. And usually when that starts happening, other people are thinking the same thing. I have had it twice, because I remember now the second question that I got. People say, could it be that maybe the Antichrist doesn't really rise up out of Europe, but maybe he's somebody in America that descended from European descent? Well, first of all, almost everyone in here descended from European descent. Not all of us. I realize there are different countries represented. But if you use that as the criteria to say that it could be that, that doesn't work. No, the Bible says in Daniel chapter 9 that it's going to be someone from the Roman Empire that's going to rise up. And the Bible tells us later that the Roman Empire would die and come back alive. So the Roman Empire is now being revived. It's in the European region. You can go look up the ancient Roman guidelines. And somewhere within the ancient Roman guidelines is where this guy is going to come from. We don't know where that's going to be, but we know it's going to be somewhere over there in Europe. And so Paul mentions this restraining power on this particular individual, which again is empowered by Satan. And it says he'll be revealed when that restraining power is removed. But notice this, until then, we will not know who the Antichrist is. All right? He can't reveal himself until God allows him to do so and God removes that restraining power. Now, it brings up a question. And that is, what is that restraining power? What is it that's restraining the Antichrist from revealing himself? Because I can tell you, when that door opens, they're going to go through it very quickly. It's not going to be a matter of waiting for the right timing. If Satan could do it today, he would do it today. Trust me. So what is it restraining? Well, it's interesting here that Paul said the Thessalonians knew because he had taught them. Which is interesting because some theologians still disagree a little bit today on what that restraining power is. However, since we know that in reality only God can truly restrain Satan in the demonic realm, it's probably speaking of the restraining power of God through the Holy Spirit. And so God's Holy Spirit is the restrainer, it would appear, which means God is holding everything back through the power of the Holy Spirit until the time is right for the end times process and the Antichrist to move forward. And while it would appear that it's the power of the Holy Spirit restraining, it's currently being manifested by the governments of the world. Now, this is where I said why this election is so important. Please don't misunderstand me for getting political. That is not my mindset at all. It doesn't matter to me about that. But here's the reality. The politics of the world plays out what's happening in the spirit realm. That's how this game works. So we can look at the political realm and say, here's where we are prophetically. This is what God's doing. This is what the enemy's doing. And then watch what's happening. We have certain clues that God has given us. And here's the bottom line. These world governments, every single major world leader, I can't speak for every smaller nation, okay? But every single major world leader, France, Germany, go down the line, all of them, every single one of them, desires that the world unify in one government. Every one of them. As a matter of fact, the majority of them, not all of them yet, but the majority also agree there should be a one world religion. There's conferences going on, if you do your homework around the globe on that right now. Not that each individual group can't have their God, put that in quotes, but that everyone needs to realize it's all the same God, regardless of who you call him, and we're really all one, and we need to all agree on that. And they have this whole list of these unifications of the world. Okay, here's what's interesting. God uses world governments and has throughout history to do what he wants to do on the planet. There is only one nation on the planet today and one national leader with any power that is standing against the move of the one world unifying government. Do you know who that is? It's the United States of America. We are the only nation. They hate us because of it. We really get under Germany's skin. We get under France's skin. We get under everybody's skin. They really, America, listen, we are in the way. But what they don't realize is that God is using America to restrain. Now, does this mean America's wonderful? Does this mean America has all the answers? Does this mean America has no problems? Does this mean America's sin-free? Absolutely not. Every nation is sinful. Every man and woman is sinful. But God uses certain nations, regardless of their sin, throughout time to carry out his work. And for whatever the reason, God has chosen America to be his restraining force at this point. I know it's God. I know it's the Holy Spirit. I get that. But God is using the most powerful nation in the world to restrain the move forward of the Antichrist. That's where we are today. That's just a fact. Especially if you do your homework, I challenge you, go out, see where the other world leaders that have power are standing. They would do it tomorrow. Here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, historically, biblically, God allows what his people do, not only in their thought, but in their actions, to direct a nation and even a world in the direction they go. Now, what am I talking about? Let me give you the example. Remember Samuel. Samuel was a prophet. At that time, God was using the prophets to rule over the world, not to rule over the world, to guide the world. They were the ones that people looked to as far as Israel goes. The prophets were the ones, not kings. Israel didn't have a king. All the other nations had kings, presidents, prime ministers, whatever you want to call them. Israel said, God's our king. Well, Israel decided, you know what? We want to be like the rest of the world. We want our own king. We want our own president. And Samuel went to the Lord and said, God, they want a man to lead them rather than you. And God said, I know it's grieving, Samuel, but if that's what they want, I'll let them have that. And then they're going to have to suffer the consequences. And so the nation chose Saul, King Saul, taller than everyone, the obvious one to be their leader, their new king, their new whatever, right? And then in weeping, Samuel turned it over to Saul, and Saul led the nation into great sin and into great consequence. And they realized as a people after that, we made a huge mistake. We should have let God be our God and not man be our God, or man be our leader, so to speak. We should let God be that. But God showed in that example, he allowed his people to affect the direction he sent the nation. What's my point? God has given us as the church opportunity to make our voice known. In one way, I'm like, let's just get this thing over with. Nobody wants to have a baby. Let me take that back. Nobody wants to go through labor to have a baby, but they want the baby. We want the birth of the new kingdom, but who's looking forward to the labor pains? I'm not. But here's the bottom line, and I want you to be encouraged right now. First of all, I want you to take the action that you believe God would have you take to do what God wants, and I believe we're to fight till the very end until the Lord removes his restraining power. God will lead you. You have the Holy Spirit. You'll know what to do. You take the proper action. But here's the bottom line. We can rejoice. We either have more time or let's rock and roll. Honey, it's time. Grab the luggage. Now, I don't know that. I can't say when the Lord's coming back. But when I see there's only one nation standing in the way of this move forward of what the entire world wants, once they're out of the way, God can do what he wants. He's the Lord. But it may get very interesting very, very fast. And notice now it goes on in verse 7. He says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. What Paul is saying is the spirit of Antichrist and lawlessness was already underway on the earth in his day. He was simply being restrained, even as he's being restrained today. But as we get closer and closer to the Lord's return, Jesus said in Matthew 24, that restraining is going to begin to back off a little bit. It's almost like God's not going to completely let the enemy go, but he's starting to kind of loose the straitjacket, you know, kind of untying it a little bit. Maybe lifting up the spit thing a little bit. If you want to get a picture in an earthly way of what's happening with Satan right now and the Antichrist, it's like God's giving him a little bit more leeway. He says, then the closer we get to the end, he's going to have even more leeway. And finally, the Lord's going to pull that string and let him loose. And I mean, and everything's going to get crazy really fast. Really fast. And so who is this who restrains? As we said earlier, I believe it's the Holy Spirit. And he'll stop restraining. He'll be taken out of the way sometime probably right around the rapture of the church. And it won't take long for the earth to decline very quickly. As a matter of fact, once he signs that treaty with Israel, the Bible says in 7 years, the entire earth will be just dissolved. I mean, it's going to be wiped out. And Jesus will come back and restore it. That's the good news. But it's going to happen very fast. And it's amazing to me to think, you know, if this is the restraining, what's it going to be like when it's not restrained? We're right now, this is the good time. We're in good times compared to what it's going to be. Is that shocking or what? You know, when Jesus was carrying his cross, the women were weeping. Oh, we're weeping for him. He said, don't weep for me. He said, you know what? If this is what happens in the green, what's going to happen when the dry comes? Interpretation. If the world sees God in human form, in pure love, and they want to put him to death and kill him, that's how violent everyone is. What's it going to be like when there's no love restraining the world? With no spirit blocking the move of what the world wants to do. He said, this is the good moment. Me on the cross, carrying the cross, being abused, beaten, nailed to a cross. This is the best it's going to be as far as the world's view with God, other than those who believe. And so, same thing here. Now, it's important to understand You know, that when the Holy Spirit, again, stops restraining, that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit will no longer be working in the earth or on the earth. The church will be gone, rapture of the church. Satan and the Antichrist will be running things around the globe, but God will still be working very much by his Holy Spirit. We're going to see 144,000 Jews saved instantly. You're going to see other people around the earth saved all over the planet. The Bible says multitudes will be getting saved during that time. They just will have to go through the great tribulation. That's why we plead with as many as possible to come with us. Don't go in the great tribulation, you know. Go with us. Give your life to Christ now before it's too late and you have to go through that. So it's already being revealed. He says, look at this in verse 8. He says, once this has happened, once he who restrains has been taken out of the way, once God allows this to move forward, look at verse 8. Then the lawless one will be revealed. Who's the lawless one? The Bible tells us in Revelation, it's the Antichrist. He says, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Again, notice then, that is after that restraining force is taken out of the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed. But notice this. Paul says Jesus will not only destroy the lawless one. Revelation tells us when he speaks a word, he'll wipe out the Antichrist and his armies, and what we know of as the Battle of Armageddon. But notice this. He also says he'll destroy him by the brightness of his coming. Isn't that amazing to think God's sheer glory can dissolve the armies of the Antichrist? Is that amazing or what? It's interesting, when Jesus transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, it says he began to glow. And I love the way that, you know, the writer wrote it. He said he glowed more than any earthly launderer could make him, you know, glow or whatever. I'm like, that's pretty, you know, that's kind of funny to me. But what kind of example are you going to use? I mean, that was better than Tide Pods, right? You should have seen him, right? But what's interesting, he just revealed just enough so they could see his glory. If he'd have revealed his full glory, he'd have melted them right there. The Bible says our bodies can't handle the full glory of God. Remember when Moses said, oh, Lord, if I truly do have your favor, let me see your glory. He said, Moses, I can't show you my full glory. You couldn't live. But here's what I'll do. You stand in the rock. I'll put my hand over you. Stand on that rock. I'll put my hand over you. I'll go by and you'll see my afterglow, right? The glory, the glow behind me. And so God let him see just the glory that he could handle. And what's really neat about that, today, God says the same thing to us. Stand on the rock, Jesus Christ. I will lay my hand on you, and I'll let you see as much glory as you can handle, as much as you'll be open to, but I can't show you my full glory until that day. Paul says here, he's going to reveal so much glory, these guys are going to be, they're going to just dissolve. And matter of fact, it tells us in Zechariah, while they're standing, their eyes and their tongue will dissolve in their mouth. Their skin will dissolve in their body. It gives really, truly, the Bible gives this scene of this, and everything's gone but a skeleton. And it's almost like the cartoons, a skeleton. Whoa. It's because of the brightness of his glory. We can't handle it. No regular human can see him. And yet we know that he's going to douse that glory to some degree because he's going to, from the Battle of Armageddon, go to Jerusalem, set up his throne, and gather the remaining people that are alive on the earth, separate them from the sheep to the goats, and they're going to be able to be judged before him. So his glory will be kind of back and forth during that time, if you will, but he's going to use it in full force against the Antichrist. It's going to be or at least enough level to destroy him. It's going to be an amazingly powerful situation and thing that he does. And notice what he says here. Again, look at verse 9. He says this, and the coming of the lost one, here gives a further description now of what he's going to be like, this Antichrist. His coming will be in according with the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Remember, when Satan presents the Antichrist, he wants to present him as somebody in substitute to Jesus Christ.
While our time at the table of God's Word is ending for today, please keep reading in the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. If you missed any part of this broadcast on Come to the Table, or if you want to hear it again, visit thewaymedia.net. You can also subscribe to the podcast so you'll never miss an episode. Again, just visit thewaymedia.net, then click on Come to the Table. You can also join us on Facebook. That way, you'll get the latest information, along with some inspiration and encouragement for your newsfeed. There's a link at thewaymedia.net. Our teachings through these New Testament letters touch on how to have the right mindset about the end times. They also address the value of spiritual growth, even in a turbulent period that the world is going through. You might face some persecution, but how do you go about that with a godly perspective? Paul gives some wise counsel in this book to the Thessalonians. On behalf of Pastor Mark, we'd appreciate your prayers during the study. Pray for our nation and the spiritual state that it's in, and that God would work in the lives of his followers to faithfully pursue him, despite the opposition that may come. Pray that the Holy Spirit would lead those who don't know God to hear this program and find hope in Jesus. We also ask that you pray for all of our listeners to have open ears and soft hearts. Thanks for lifting your fellow listeners up to the Lord. We hope you'll be able to join us as we continue exploring God's Word the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.